I really felt that our last time together was our last class. And it just, in my heart, I felt like we were for sure finished. And on Sunday, I was texting Deb to tell her that, you know, for sure we are done with the spiritual authority, the Lamb and spiritual authority class. And praise the Lord, God really finished. And then I send the text, and literally like 1 second after the text was sent, the Holy Spirit said to me, or I don't know, one of the Godhead said to me, "No, this class is not finished. I want you to teach the Noah class." And I just immediately called Deb back and said, "Oh, I think I'm supposed to teach." And so I have spent hours with the Lord. He's just been pouring. I can tell this class is on the Lord's heart, is what I'm trying to communicate. So every time I prepare for this class, he just pours into me the things of his heart. And it's all part of this course that we've been taking together. And so this morning I got ready to, you know, pack up to come to class and pack up my notes off my iPad, and they were all deleted irretrievably. I spent an hour trying to get them out of the recycled files, and everything was there, but that one file, it was just gone, completely gone. So about an hour ago, I just started re-typing in the whole class from what I remembered of the Lord. And he brought back to remembrance what he had shared, because it's just there in the Word. So I say all that to say that I think there is something in the Lord's heart in regards to our time together here, whether it's a student today or someone in the future who's watching a video or listening to a sharing of this, audio sharing or whatnot. I just feel that this is more than a class, but something that almost like that was on the Lord's heart to have shared. So that's why we're here. That's why this is happening this morning. It's from him. And so I would like to pray and just begin. And this definitely will be our last class, because Christmas break is, you know, it is the end of the semester now. So, Father, we humble ourselves and just bow down before you and ask that our ears would be opened and circumcised, that these things would sink deep in and go all the way from just hearing something in the scriptures to the entrance of thy word into our heart. And that our heart would be enlarged to be able to contain the spirit and the mind of Christ and the way of God and the things of the spirit of the Lamb that would define these verses and these things from your word, O God. And so, Lord, we just put on our Holy Spirit, Jesus listening ears, like we do when we teach children's church. We just open up those hearts and ears for the Holy Spirit to breathe and to teach and to share about Jesus, who is our life, and to inscribe these things into our hearts, write them in us in spirit and in life, that it would be Christ in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's open up to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to go through Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9, looking at specific verses that the Lord landed upon and share from them in regards to the spirit of the Lamb and authority and the theme of this course that we are in. And this is particularly in relation to Noah. And its title within the course would be Disrespecting God's Delegated Authority. Disrespecting God's Delegated Authority. And we know that God, with Noah, had established Noah as his delegated authority over all those who were saved through the flood. And he was also the head of his family, the family that were the survivors of the flood and those who, you know, filled the earth with their descendants after the flood wiped out everyone else. So let's begin in Genesis chapter 6, looking at verse 5. And I'm going to just read there in Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So I think that this particular verse was shared in Ireland with the young adults a couple years ago by Randy, and much was given to us in that time of seeking the Lord together, in the fact that verse 6 says, it repented the Lord at his heart. It grieved him at his heart that he had made man on the earth, that this was such a personal and deep thing to God's heart, that it literally grieved the heart of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they had made man on the face of the earth. And that's just really, there's no way that can be taught or shared or spoken. That can only be known by pressing into the heart of God and finding him and what he felt and what was going on inside of God, in God's own heart. It was very powerful. It's also very personal. Sometimes it can be easy to read the story of Noah in a way where it's like, this is about the judgment of all flesh, and this is about the corruption of all mankind, and what God had to do at this point in the history of man. And that's a very kind of legal, judicial way of looking at that time period. But the scriptures emphasize the heart of God, and the scriptures emphasize what was going on inside of God and what it was to God. And we have to remember also that God delegates authority as it pleases him. Promotion does not come from the east nor from the west, but from the Lord. That is a scripture. And therefore, God is the one who has given his authority to whomsoever he has chosen. And we've looked at those verses. Those verses are in the Word of God for you to look at, to search out. But all authority is of God. That's another scripture. And so we're looking at the Lord and his heart at this time and some elements therein. So in verse 7 it said, and the Lord said, after his heart was so grieved, that I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowl of the air. For it repents me that I have made them. So there's a crisis going on in God. There is a grief and a sorrow unto repenting that he even created mankind. Can you imagine what kind of grief would cause God or any human being to repent that they'd even made man? The depth of sorrow and grief that would have to be felt inside of that person would be incredible to come to that point, And we can be so sin-aware or failure-aware that it just becomes about us. But if we become God-aware and caring for him and the crisis of what he went through, Elohim, we were created in their image, the crisis of God's heart, that changes history, becomes his story, not ours. So that perspective, I believe the verses in the Word of God come from that place. And then, so here in verse 7 of chapter 6, God is in this crisis. His heart is broken. It's grieved. It's repenting of even making man. With all of that held in your heart, in your mind, go to verse 8. And it says, but Noah found grace. Where? In the eyes of who? Of the Lord. So Noah, this one man on a very populated earth, I mean, nothing is compared to now, but very populated earth, this one man, God, the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro over the whole earth, you know, find this man Noah, and something causes the eyes of the Lord to find grace over this man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. At this point, we find God himself highly regarding this man above all created humans on the planet. Is that powerful? And that with a broken heart that has been breached by a whole generation that's corrupted their ways. Here's a man that he found that could be his. So the next verse, verse 9, says, these are the generations of Noah. Isn't it funny that God says it's the generations of Noah? Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Am I quoting that verse right, or am I missing something? Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generation. It's plural. So what would it mean if God said that Noah was a just and perfect man in generations? Go beyond his lifetime, wouldn't it? So we have to think about the word of God saying, right after the verse that Noah, above all created humans on the planet, found grace in God's eyes, that God called him a just and perfect man in all of his generations. Now that's the word of God, not the opinion of somebody down here. And it also says Noah walked with God. Who else walked with God? Enoch. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a big deal when the scripture says that you walked with God. So we continue. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was, verse 11, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, we've been, some of us here in church and in certain classes that have been recently shared, have been talking about what we call the breach. And that is where, I'm not sufficient to even begin to represent what this means. It's such an incredibly broad and deep area. And that's all over the word as we were studying. But the breach had to do with Lucifer rebelling against God and taking a third of the angels with him and coming down here to the earth and breaching Adam and Eve and therefore all mankind. It wasn't a sin that happened in the breach. It was the nature of Satan, his pro-self, self-exalting, rebellious nature that poisoned mankind and a third of the angels and breached. It wasn't a sin that Satan, an act of sin that Lucifer, Satan did. It was an act of rebellion and a breach that forever divided the two. That's different. He corrupted his ways. He corrupted his wisdom. He corrupted his beauty. He corrupted himself. Corrupted. He didn't commit a sin. He corrupted. Well, that's another study, but we're going to look at these words that are showing up all over this area before the flood. Because corrupt is a word that has to do with the breach. Just search it out and see if it be so. You know, you should check that out. And on your own time, go through the verses in the scripture that use the word corrupt, corrupted themselves, and see if it is a key word in regards to the breach and Lucifer's rebellion. This is an authority class, so that rebellion would flow right in. So the earth was breached. It was corrupted before God. The earth was filled with, didn't say sin, violence. Violence is different. It's a fruit of the breach, in my opinion. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, he saw the earth is corrupt. It's totally breached. It's poisoned. All flesh had corrupted their way. All flesh. To me, if they've corrupted their way, that's what Satan did. They've been breached. All flesh. Didn't say all flesh was sinning continuously. In the scriptures, it said all flesh corrupted their way. Upon the whole earth. And God said to Noah, this is verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them from off the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And we know these verses. Verse 15, fashion it. And he's speaking to Noah about making the ark. Behold, I'll bring a flood. That's verse 17. It's going to destroy all flesh. Everything that has life under the heaven, everything that is in the earth shall die. So this grieved heart and broken heart of God that sees nothing but breached, corrupt, in the vain imaginations, just gone, They're not casting down their vain imaginations, are they, in this generation? In all, even their imaginations, they're evil. It's a breached generation. God says, do it. Make the ark. Judgment, the judgment is coming on all flesh. But with you, Noah, I will establish my covenant. Now, come on. Think about the reality of what's going on in the world with every human being about to be judged. God finds grace in the eyes, in God's eyes, there's favor in the eyes for one man. And in that, with that one man whose name is Noah, God says, you are perfect and just in all your generations. You walk with me. Noah's 600 years old at this time, by the way. 600 years old. He's been walking with God. And I will establish my covenant with you. And you're going to come into the ark, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives, and they're going to come with you. So now everybody who links their wagon with Noah gets to partake of the grace of God that's upon that man. Now, if you were one of the sons or the wives or the wife of Noah, what would with thee, which is going to show up over and over again in these chapters, mean to you? Whose covering are you under? Is God bringing up your name when he's saying any of these things? Is he saying, you know what, I found special things in Japheth or Ham. He walked with me for about 4 years there. And I have grace and, you know, that was a good woman now. It's Noah. Who's bringing up Noah all the time? Who's pointing out Noah? Who's delegating his authority to Noah? Who's making Noah the man who is the leader over the judgment of all flesh? Who chose that man? Do you think maybe the three sons saw that if they were with him during the many years of building the ark and watching everybody drowned around the ark when it was... They saw that, didn't they? There was more than enough proof, if there ever was proof, that a man was chosen of God to be the leader, apart from just the father of the family in that delegation of authority. He's the leader of the judgment of all flesh. These guys were there for this. Okay, so, and again, the man is 600 years old at this time when it's happening. So there's a long time of him being with the Lord. Okay, so there's a track record is what I'm trying to say. Thus, okay, so with you, Noah, I'm going to establish my covenant. Verse 22, thus did Noah according to A-L-L, all that God commanded him, so did he. So what, does Noah withhold some things or not follow through with other things? It says he did everything that God commanded him to do. So that's just chapter 6. And what a case is being built on the behalf of Noah, just purely in the word of God. And we're going somewhere with this. But this is the journey that I felt the Lord took me on. And this is the journey that was totally deleted off of my iPad. And I went back through the journey this morning and it all came back. And the Lord's going to take you on your journey. And you and the Lord and the Holy Spirit in your Bible and in your heart can see if these things be so. So Genesis chapter 7, starting in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee, who is he speaking to when he says thee? Have I seen, who is I? God, righteous before me in this generation that breaches and corrupts themselves. Okay, so again, not just a sentence, something in the heart of God, in the eyes of God, in the delegation of God. And it's in verse, it says 5, but let's see. I think I'm skipping something here. Verse 7, with him. Okay, I may have the incorrect verse here because I did this so early, but I believe it's chapter 7, verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the water of the flood. So in that verse, we see that all these eight people, however so many there were, probably around eight, they're going into the ark, but the scriptures say they're going in with Noah. They're not just going in on their own authority. You know, I'm in this ark because I am one of the eight righteous people on the earth, and I deserve this, and I see clearly why I am important enough to be called on my own to do this. Even though I'm with these seven other people, I have my own reasons why I am righteous and special. They're coming in under Noah's covering. And when we say Noah's covering, we mean Noah's relationship with God is covering them. Noah's righteousness in the eyes of the Lord is covering them. Noah's grace that he found in the eyes of the Lord is upon their lives. They are partaking of the grace of life through Noah's relationship with the Lord, and it is saving them from being judged with all the rest of the flesh. So how important is it for these lads to be under authority in the ark? Dude, I don't, it's pretty important. It's pretty important that we didn't, I mean, I get in argument. I saw a movie on Noah once where one of the sons got in an argument with Noah right before getting in the ark because he had a girlfriend out there in the woods. Or, I mean, you know, I'm going to stick with the scriptures, but I'm going to say in that movie or in anybody's life story, it's probably not good to get in a tussle with the guy who God sent to cover you through a very important season of being with the Lord through the work of the cross. You know, that you stay under authority. That's your covering. That's your door in. Are they special? No. Noah's just a dude, man. He's just a guy. But he has grace. God's heart and spirit and delegated authority are upon him. Was David perfect? Did David sin less than Saul and therefore earn a right to be the king with a heart after God's own heart? But was David the man in whom God shared his heart and gave his authority and really made known the things that were dear to him through and delegated that down to the people so they could partake of it? Yes. Yes. And we saw Nabal getting square with David and accusing him of all kinds of things because David did have things that could be brought up to accuse him and build a case against him. But all of Samuel's, 1 and 2, we can, particularly for Samuel, we can see God giving us a scenario of understanding delegated authority and how David himself was our prime example of a man who understood this in the way he responded to Saul. An authority that was definitely not perfect in his, not just acts of sin, but nature. And yet, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. So these are other classes, but we're just continuing in this learning of the spirit of the Lamb and authority in our lives. So verse 15 now in Genesis chapter 7, and they went in unto Noah into the ark. These words just kept popping out of the scriptures to me as I was reading. And they, that's the family of Noah and their wives, went in unto Noah into the ark. They didn't just go into the ark. Interesting, isn't it? Now that's the scriptures. I'm just reading. They went in unto Noah into the ark. Two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Now this isn't just, because we skipped a bit, this isn't just the human beings going into the ark. This is all the animals. God put it in the hearts of two of every kind of animal on the face of the earth, and some even more than that, to come into the ark unto. They didn't just go into their little warm bed with the food. Like if my dog comes into a room, it's because there's probably a pile of food on the floor, and she's coming in unto dinner. You know, she's not coming in unto Kelly. Maybe, you know, maybe sometimes she does if she misses me. But usually it's usually unto the food or unto the walk. But God put it in the heart of every creature that had breath that was going to be preserved to come unto Noah. And that, again, it's just worthy of consideration. And this is one of every beast and cattle and creeping thing that's upon the earth and every man. And so every kind, so now we're coming towards the end of chapter 7. I'm skipping a bit because of time and emphasis. But verse 22 says, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died. So everything that had, that every living thing, in fact, the next verse 23 says, every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the earth. That is huge. Can you imagine really living through this? It's the cross in our lives. We're supposed to experience this personally as the cross is wrought within us and does its finished work in a true way, the circumcision of our hearts. But every living substance was destroyed off the face of the ground, man and cattle and everything. So, okay, here we go. this judgment is on. It's happening. It truly is going to happen. The cross really did happen. There was only one man that God ordained all men should go into to go through that judgment, and his name is the man, Jesus Christ. And if you came in unto that man, and you came in, and you were crucified with him, and in him you died, then the judgment that you deserved came upon his head, and he carried you through that. In his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. And that's how every human being that's ever been saved got saved. Amen? And there was one man God chose. And we came in unto him. And if we didn't come in unto Jesus, but just a ticket to heaven, we didn't come through the judgment. If you're just getting saved in some random way to go to heaven, listen, you're only saved from the judgment that God has put upon all flesh by getting into the man Jesus Christ and letting him carry you through the judgment that we all deserve and bring us forth in newness of life. And that's his life in us. And that's called salvation. That's basic how everyone who ever got born again and saved got saved, as they came in unto Jesus Christ and were judged in him. And that, please just read your Bible, read all the epistles starting with Romans, and find that. Search that out and understand the basis upon which God ordains our salvation, the salvation of the judgment upon all flesh, which Noah is speaking of here. Now, there's only one other man in type and shadow in all the Bible that God ever said, come in unto him to go through this judgment. And who was that man? Noah. He is the Old Testament picture of Jesus in his eternal salvation, which is the fulfillment of all things. He's not the shadow, he's the true. But this man, Noah, is representing what Jesus will fulfill on the cross when he carries us all flesh of all generations through the judgment. So again, how much honor should we give to this man, Noah? Okay, we're just continuing to build our case. So now we're in chapter 8, and God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark that God made. Let's read that sentence again. How important is that sentence? God remembered Noah. He didn't remember first off his lips in his word, every living thing and all the cattle. He remembered Noah. This man is precious to the Lord. And he remembers everything that is also with him. Wow. I think it's a picture and a type of Jesus Christ, the Son, the only begotten Son who the Father offered at Calvary, and that God remembered his Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, his only begotten, my Son, my only Son, who he gave on the wood at Calvary. God remembered Jesus and everyone who was in him and with him. Yes, all living things, many, many lives for generations have received this free gift of being saved from our own judgment because God remembered Jesus and God remembered Noah and those who were in Jesus and those who were with him. So why is it important to understand delegated authority? Because our very lives are based on, our very salvation is a picture of delegated authority. He delegated all authority in heaven and earth to his Son so that his Son could bear the judgment of all our sins legally before God and carry us from death to life. And without God vesting that authority in his Son to carry that judgment, we wouldn't be saved. It's a form of delegated authority. So, you know, to despise the authority is to shoot yourself in the foot. That's a very small way of putting it. Amen. So it continues on then in Genesis chapter 8. And, it talks about how the earth is drying and the ark is still waiting. And he's in there in this ark, and he's been there in this ark for a very, very long time. 120 days comes to me, but I don't know if that's right. But it was a long time, whatever the days was. And so finally, the winds blow, the water recedes, and there's so much of the Lord to discover in that. And there's a wonderful class called The Spiritual Realities of Noah that is well worth the listen. And and the just seeking of God in. That's a class on the Friends of Life and the Spirit website, but there's so much shared on those elements within that course, and of course just the scriptures is the main thing. But the whole thing is finished, this time period in the ark where Noah not just brought them in, but as the man, he bore with all flesh. And these are beasts and things that creep in a very small confined place. How many, now just Noah the man, apart from being a type of Christ in that way of bearing judgment, how many of you, after
over a year, so there's a lot of time in that ark,
how many of us would emerge from that ark probably with some bitterness, some revenge in our hearts? How many of us would just run and keep running and just scream for the hills, get me out of this ark, set me free. Don't make me free, because that was supposed to happen in the ark. Just set me free from the beasts that I've had to live with for this very long and confined period of time. So Noah the man went through the judgment, and he wasn't corrupted. He wasn't breached. Noah the man went, and I think this was even shared, maybe alluded to or even shared much more deeply in one of the pro-self classes, but I believe it was, and that would be well worth a listen to. But Noah the man was not corrupted by the continuous pressure, and I'm sure injustice. Can you just imagine the circumstances that would be like a corridor that would just press and push his soul to just react and just respond, and that he would contaminate. He didn't contaminate in the ark. Is incredible, really. But again, Noah, God knew there was something in Noah's heart, right? That didn't corrupt. So let me stick with my notes, because we're going to continue on that vein. So he comes out of the ark, and he offers a burnt offering on the altar. So he doesn't run for the hills screaming. He doesn't escape the crisis of his life being confined in this ark. He doesn't come out with a polluted, corrupted stench in his attitude, in his spirit. He comes out, and the first thing Noah does is offer a sweet savor sacrifice on the cleansed and brand new earth. And he offers it with that with which he was in the ark with, that had worked together for the good of bringing forth the sun, not pollution, not violence, not vain imaginations continually, not rebellion, corruption. He didn't come and just start releasing all that venom and vile onto this new earth because of the injustice he had to bear in that ark. And you know there was stuff in that ark that, on the knowledge of good and evil level, he deserved to have a bad attitude over. And that if he was just going to go by the knowledge of good and evil, he would have breached. He would have polluted. He would have contaminated. He would have corrupted himself. And when he got out of that ark, there would have been no sweet savor, especially with the creatures he was in the ark with. It would have been another repeat of what had just happened the generations before him. Starting with Adam, and I think this was also shared in the pro-self class, starting with Adam, who was in a similar situation as Noah, but Adam did fall, not just sin, but partook of that breached mind, partook of the knowledge of good and evil from the serpent, ate from that tree, not just committed a sin, but partook of that fallen wisdom, and was contaminated, and hence the generations thereof after. But Noah was a righteous man and perfect in all of his generations. Interesting, isn't it, just to look at some of these things God put in the word concerning this man and what he represents and how we can understand authority in another way, another angle. So the Lord, verse 12 now, is it 12? I have to see my glasses. Yeah, 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Okay, the Lord smelled, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. That's powerful. The Lord smelled that. And the Lord said where? In his heart. When's the last time we heard God speaking in his heart? In chapter 6, where he said he was grieved at his heart that he had even made man. But now, after Noah does this coming out of the ark in the spirit, offering up a sweet savor sacrifice, not being contaminated and polluted and breached and corrupted, but filled with the Son, the Lamb, in his selfless giving, and is just wafting over the brand new terrain, wafting up to heaven, rising up to the Father's nostrils, God's nostrils. And God is so affected by this. God was there in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 when Adam and Eve were corrupted. He was there when Lucifer fell. He knows that Noah's been in an ark for how many days with beasts and crawling things and his family. And he should be corrupted and contaminated. And there shouldn't be a sweet savor sacrifice coming out of that ark. But by golly, there is. And that really happened. A human being with free will named Noah did that. So much so that it reached God's heart that was so grieved, it literally judged the whole known earth. He was so profoundly impacted by this thing that Noah did, yielded to by love, free will offering. All sweet savors are. In Leviticus, we see it written, sweet savor sacrifices, free will offerings. Noah did not have to do this. It wasn't preordained that Noah would do well in the ark and then just do this act of sacrificing like an official thing you've got to do when you consecrate the new building. No, this was a result of Noah's heart not being breached on the journey and Christ being formed in type and shadow in a human being under all the pressure to be breached who did not, because the Lamb was formed, the Son. All things work together to bring forth and conform him to the image of the Son to bring forth Christ. Whew, that affected God so strong that this is what God said. Now listen to it with those ears on. I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Okay, right there. This affects us, you and me today. What Noah did in that ark, but really what Jesus did on that cross, because he was the fulfillment of it. But it affects us to this day. It's the cross that really... But God made a covenant with Noah that does have ramifications for all mankind. And right here... I will not curse the ground again, even though God knew that the imagination of man's heart is going to be evil from his youth. Because of Noah, he said, I'm not going to curse the ground again, though. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Not like that. He did it in his Son, and it truly fulfilled everything. But what we're looking at right now isn't just doctrines, and we're looking at the impact that the man Noah had on the heart of God. And how much honor God had and how affected God had by this man. While, this is verse, I think, 22, maybe it's 23. While the earth remaineth. Well, that's up till now, folks, because the earth still remains. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Hello. He said, because Noah's season in the ark wrought in him in type and shadow and increase of Christ, and something sweet came out of that bitter, and that judgment brought forth an increase of Jesus that would walk this earth and release on this earth up to God. Because remember, it was everything on the dry land, on the face of the earth, that was just nothing but a stench to God's nostrils and a grief to God's heart. He said, but this man has gotten out of the ark, walked onto the earth, and on that dry land offered up my Son, and something sweet came out of this. An increase of my Son. Again, in type and shadow, but it's speaking of Christ in us through the judgment. He said, man, I'm going to have seed time and harvest. Everything's going to have a chance now to bring forth because Noah brought forth in that ark. Seed time and harvest, I'm not going to cancel it. Let everything have its season to seed and to grow and to harvest. He's talking about all living things going through the process of seeding and harvesting. While the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, all the elements that ever hit anything physically, on the earth, summer, winter, listen, even day and night, won't cease. He pretty much says, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep the world a-spinning. I'm going to keep time a-flowing. You think God wasn't powerfully impacted by Noah? That God didn't honor that man? That the sons didn't hear all this? Because a rainbow came and the covenant was made, and we're not even going to go into those scriptures, that's a signification that God made a covenant with all mankind, all flesh, but he made it also with Noah. So I'm not trying to teach all kinds of classes on this, that. I'm trying to, and I don't think it's me, this is what I saw from the Lord, I believe, when I went into the Word, seeking him. This is the relationship, the view the scriptures give of God and the man Noah in his God's eyes. The first Adam was breached and all flesh partook of that. Noah brought forth something from the elements of this world beating on him, on his ark, from the beasts in his situation daily gnawing at him, from his own frailties and soul pressing him. And yet the Lord was victorious. He walked with God through that. And from it came an increase that did begin to fill the new earth. What a beautiful picture of a believer going into Jesus Christ as the ark that carries us in his body on that cross through our judgment that we deserve, and finding him to become our life in such a manner that we are able to bear that storm, not just when we got saved on that initial journey, but when we walk through similar things to bring forth Christ. It's just profound. Noah's not corrupted. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night, God's heart is exploded profoundly. It affects all of us to this day, but once again, the true glory goes to Jesus, who fulfilled it all and was the only one who could. Noah is just a type and shadow, but he as a man did walk with God. Now, we finally come to Genesis chapter 9, which is the crux of our story in this class on spiritual authority. And so we've had to build our case, because without the elements that we've just seen, elements that are literally in the Word of God, you know, not my personal opinions, but in the scriptures as inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down for our admonition today, we see these things. And so in Genesis chapter 9, verse 9, let's begin. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So God is saying, replenish the earth, be fruitful, multiply. Do you believe with a certain heart and a certain kind of desire and hopeful expectation that there would be more sweet savor coming, more release of that crucified lamb on the altars that would come in their walks, that would fill the earth with the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of his lamb through his people? Replenish. You know, he's not just saying, have babies, build houses, start businesses, just get busy. I believe the floodgate of God's heart was so opened by what Noah did in that ark and how he came out in that spirit of Jesus in type and shadow, but a sweet savor ascended, that he said, please fill the earth with this. Please fill the earth with this unbreached sweet savor, lamb on the altar coming out of you in the circumstances you go through. Replenish this earth, fill this earth, multiply. I mean, he already had millions of humans, and they grieved him at his heart, and they all were judged and drowned. He's not looking for more humans. He's not looking for more babies. He's not looking for more people. He's looking for more of Christ in his people, an increase of Christ in the earth through his body. And that, I believe, and that's just my opinion, is what he's saying to Noah and his sons. I say that also because it's precipitated by what just happened in chapter 8 and how God responded to that, which this still, to me, is a part of. And so in this same chapter, we go down to verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. So who knows who Canaan is, or who the Canaanites become?
they become the inhabitants of the land that need to be dispossessed. That's way down the history line from this point in Genesis. However, these guys all come out of this ark experience with their dad, their spiritual authority, and the man who led the known world through the judgment of all flesh, per God's appointing. These guys come out of this ark with this commission by God Almighty to replenish the earth. Okay, it's a new day, but with the new day comes all that came before it and all the lessons that there were meant to be learned. Amen. So Noah began to be a husbandman. He began to plant a vineyard, and he drank of the wine of his vineyard, and he drank too much. He got drunk, and he was uncovered in his tent. Noah sinned. He didn't drink the poison of the serpent and become breached. He drank a little much of he drank a little too much of his own wine from his vineyard. Noah sinned. Here's a spoiler alert. Everyone except for the man Jesus Christ sins. Romans tells us there are none righteous. No, not one. So let me just put this out there. If Noah didn't sin, it's probably because it wasn't written, because he definitely did sin. Everybody sins. So if you see someone in leadership, could be your mom, your dad, your teacher, your anyone in leadership, sin. We're not talking about corrupted, breached, rebellious, you know. Everybody sins. It's not a happy thing. We want Christ to be formed in us, so we don't. But only Jesus is sinless. We all. No, not one. Amen? So it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But this is the responses of the sons. And within their responses shows where their nature, where their heart, what wisdom they're functioning by. It reveals everything. So Ham comes upon his father in his tent. And it says in the verse here, it says in the scriptures here, verse 22, that Ham, comma, the father of Canaan, comma, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. So number one, Ham is okay to look upon the nakedness of his father. He is okay to look. I don't even know how to humanly say this, because it's so profound in heart. Love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't cover the breach, but it covers a multitude of sins. Love does that. But Ham, having been with all that we just read and more, had no problem looking into the nakedness of his father. Now, God himself had called Noah a righteous man and perfect in all his generations. He never brought up the fact that he drank too much wine one night. Okay? But Ham walks in there and sees something that is definitely not the Lord. He drank too much wine. He was in excess. He got drunk. He was naked. But Ham had no problem just looking at that. No, not just himself taking it in and looking under, if you will, it's almost like looking under someone's skirts. Just their pride, you know, this is, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to, based on the knowledge of good and evil, he shouldn't be drunk. Therefore, I can violate uncovering the guy who's covered, not just me, but all of humanity. With his relationship with the Lord that saved us all, I feel justified on the basis of the knowledge of good and evil that it's not right to be drunk, so I'm just going to look into all your nakedness. Beware of Ham, because he's going to seem right. And because he's breached in his heart but looks right in his presentation, he's going to try to poison you. Beware. Beware. Is Noah perfect? No. No one is. Whether they're just anybody or a leader. Was Noah God's anointed? Yeah. Was Noah God's incredible friend? I mean, you tell me. Ham knew that, and he had no fear of the Lord in working in his heart to honor the man that God honored. And he had no compunction not to behold his nakedness. Something's off in Ham. And it's not a sin that's off in Ham. Something corrupted in him. For he has no smiting of the conscience, no sense of the spirit of the Lamb to cover that. Do you see what I'm saying? Something's off in him, and it's not the offness of sin. You know, I don't know how to put that, but it doesn't stop there. Then he tells his brothers about he spreads it with his mouth. And you can see this all through all the classes we've had, all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. When rebellion moves from your heart to actually, you know, doing something, which he did. He beheld. He went in there and he looked. The other guys didn't. They backed in. We'll read it. The other brothers didn't. They didn't look. Then he spread it. And boy, talk about adding iniquity to iniquity. I don't know how to say it. But the fact that he did not have the fear of the Lord and the honor of God's delegated authority to, even if in his heart and mind and thoughts, was going to behold the righteous, behold the nakedness of the one who was his covering, which is, I have no words for this. It's grievous and it's a warning. But the fact that he had no fear of the Lord to not start spreading it abroad to all the other human beings on the planet who were going to proliferate the earth, in other words, maybe breaching this set after all that just happened, no problem. I'll go tell them. I don't know what to say. That is the crux of the matter. That's our takeaway. And it just makes me say, when I first read this story in my first year of Bible school, I just said, Lord, I want the Spirit to be in me. I need to know your authority. I need to know like David did. I need to know like Japheth and Shem did. I need to know your life. I don't want to be deceived and seduced and corrupted. And I don't want the knowledge of good and evil to make me open my mouth up and get poisoned. I need to know this kingdom. Show me. Well, isn't that the best we can do, is seek the Lord, ask him, search the scriptures, cry out? I mean, on these kind of things, I always went to the Word. I said, you know, I need God to show me. And that's just me. But I listened to my teachers, and I listened to my courses, and I read my manuals and all that. But at the end of the day, and it's true to this day, I need to see it and hear it. It's not that I don't receive and I'm not submitted, but I want to know the Lord. You, God, show me that and then form that in me. I want it real. I want to be in tune with you by the Son of God revealed in me. I need that mind in me. I want that Spirit alive in me. I just don't want to follow the rules of this, however I will, but I want to have the Spirit of this. And I've spent my life, you know, and I need to keep going, man, but pressing in to know the Lord like this. Well, it continues. So, And again, we talked about this in our very, very first classes, where we said there's one thing that's sin. We all do it. It's a result of the old nature. It's all men do it. And as Christ is formed, we sin less, because the fruit of his life in us will take over the bad fruit. That's why Christ needs to form and grow. And we never justify sin. We never say it's okay. And we don't make excuse for it. We get it under the blood and we seek for Christ to be formed. Amen. But sin and the nature of Satan, which is rebellion, those are two different categories in the scriptures, two different categories in our lives. And one doesn't justify. So here we have a really strong picture of that manifesting. So then in verse 23 of chapter 9, it says, Shem and Japheth, so they've been told about this. It's been spread abroad by Ham's mouth. Shem and Japheth, they come to the tent, but how funny. Notice how they respond. They come to the tent, and they back in, and they lay both of their shoulders, because they're going in backwards. They take a garment, covering. Shem and Japheth take a garment, they lay it on their shoulders, and they go backwards. Isn't that cool, these two brothers? They take this big garment for their dad, they walk in backwards, they put it on their shoulders, because they're not going to behold his nakedness. and they cover the nakedness of their father. And God's watching, and somehow Noah, because he is, he may be drunk, but he's still God's leader with oversight. He knows what's going on. Scriptures tell us. So he walks in. And of course, Ham probably thinks that Noah doesn't know anything about what he's doing because he's drunk and he's laying, sleeping, and he's naked. So Ham's thinking, I'm getting away with murder here. I can just run free and corrupt everybody, gossip and speak and uncover. But God's delegated authority has oversight. He's still God's overseer. Noah's fully aware of everything that just happened. So they're backing in, and they take that cover, the nakedness of their father. Their faces are back. They're not going to look. And that's a state of heart. That's not just a legalistic thing. That's a state of heart that's honoring. I don't know how to put that into words. And they saw not their father's nakedness. Their hearts didn't behold it in that spirit of high-mindedness. And I'm okay to become now your overseer and expose your nakedness in my high-minded stance based on the knowledge of good and evil and not on everything God has said about you. Same thing happened to Moses from his own brother and sister because he married an Ethiopian woman. They said, yeah, well, who are you to be Mr. Hotshot? You married an Ethiopian woman. And God almost smote him, gave Miriam leprosy for a good while, and just said, this is my friend who speaks to me face to face. You didn't think I'd have a little response to this? There's a little bit of it. It's just the fear of the Lord. But there's things in the scriptures. So, verse 24, Noah wakes up from his wine, and he knew what the younger son had done to him. He woke up and he knew. Ham's going, not fair. I thought I got away with that. No, the Lord saw. And Noah's with the Lord. Noah has a head, and it's God. And God saw. And therefore Noah will know. And so Noah starts to prophesy. This man who was in sin, God gives a prophecy to. Interesting, isn't it? And Noah says, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brothers. In other words, Canaan, you're going to serve the two brothers that had the right spirit. Because that's spiritually the order that was presented in how they responded to this. And then he said, blessed be the Lord God. He didn't say, blessed be Shem. He said, blessed be the Lord of Shem. In other words, Shem knew the Lord God. The Lord God, this is the first time in this new creation, this new earth that's come after the flood, when there's a man besides Noah that is, through a prophecy, through leadership, honored. And it's honored by the way he handled the situation. And God says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Now, that's the first time. He's always just been with Noah. But because he covered Noah and did it in the manner in which the Godhead flows of covering and not being high-minded and breached, he said, oh, you know the Lord God, and now he's yours, Shem. We know there was the Lord God of Noah, but now there's the Lord God of Shem, and blessed be God. In other words, it looks like Shem is being blessed and Shem is being blessed, but the exaltation from the heart of the Spirit, the heart of God in this, is that God was blessed. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem in how you responded, the spirit in which you moved in this. Blessed your God, and your Lord. Isn't it beautiful? That's scripture. Now Japheth, the other dude with, the spirit with his brother, God shall enlarge Japheth. He will dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan will be his servant. So there's an enlargement. Oh, I'm going to increase you. I'm going to increase that spirit in you. I'm going to bless that heart, and that increase is going to come. And God himself has blessed Shem, And Ham, you will be a servant because you can't be trusted as an authority. Because you can't honor authority, how can you be honored as one? Interesting, isn't it? I mean, yes, the Lord can put anyone in power like he did with Nebuchadnezzar for his purposes. And, we're not. But there is this principle where Canaan, you can only be trusted to serve because you don't understand authority. You don't honor authority. How can you be honored as an authority when you're not under authority? You can't be in authority unless you're under authority.
So Canaan, you're just going to serve. I can't trust you. Your heart uncovers and has another wisdom. God used Noah to prophesy, even though Noah had sinned. Ham hadn't sinned, he had breached, and therefore he was cursed. Where do we see the curse coming into play before this? In the breach in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Cursed comes when there is this partaking of the nature of Satan. Covering and the blood of Jesus, and that comes when there's sin, and it doesn't justify it. There's a death that took place to cover that sin. But that death is hoping that there will be an increase of Christ in that fruit from that tree that gave its life. Will bring forth the fruit that sin won't be there anymore. It's two different things. The scriptures deal with it differently. The curse comes to that breached. There is none righteous. Sin is not okay. We do not justify it. We cry out for the Lord. We don't make excuses. But we also don't make an excuse to be breached from the Spirit of the Lamb and from the authority of God by the knowledge of good and evil, partaking of that same fallen wisdom to leave the flow of the Lord's authority and the honor of his leadership. And this is the class that the Lord gave me for today that I was not going to teach. However, good luck with that. I feel like it was meant to happen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the clarity of the word. We do not want to come under anyone's opinions. Lord, anything that I've shared, just let it all be forgotten. If it's just my opinion, and certainly that's been intermingled, or things I'm searching out and, you know, winnow it away like the chaff from the seed. Father, let your word, let your Holy Spirit, let the word of God bear witness to the truth as it is in God, as it is in Jesus, as it is meant to be in us, as the people of your pasture, the sheep of your pasture, the people of your kingdom, your family, those who flow under the authority of God. Lord, use these things to be a profound a part of our lives, because surely, even as these things happened to Noah and Adam and Eve and Noah and his family, surely they will happen to all of us. For that same opportunity to be with you in the all things of this life will give us the free will choice to bring a sweet savor of Christ out of it through your Son in us. But it will also press us to be breached. Lord, we will be tested. We will be tempted. We will be tried. May we come forth as gold in the image of Christ and not breached. May we bring forth blessing to your heart and increase to your Son. And Father, when we fail, even when we're breached, deal with our hearts. Draw us back in to the fold, into the spirit of your kingdom, into the slaughtered Lamb, who is our ultimate authority within the throne room of our heart. Lord, let us not go into despair. Let us go into the one who bore all judgment for us and as us. Let us go in unto him, no matter what our condition may be. Bring forth an increase of your kingdom in us through Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.